From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the sixth day of April 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Secretary of Interior says his department is poised to release rules for siting wind farms on the outer continental shelf. Valero says it will honor 80 corn contracts that came along with the purchase of 7 Verison ethanol plants. No word on if that's all the contracts or not. And Russia is upping its agricultural ante. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Hey, and don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $5.57, a settlement price 6.5 cents lower. July at $5.69, down 6.75. And September at $5.94.25, down 6.25. May wheat in Kansas City, a 6.03 settlement for the hard red, down 4.5. And the harvest month hard red at 6.13.75. July wheat in Kansas City, down 4 cents. Back in Chicago, the corn pit finished higher. Nearby contract at 4.05.5 for the May, up a penny. July following suit, up one at 4.15.75, and September corn 4.24.75, up 1¼. December corn futures $4.36¾, a settlement price a penny and a quarter higher, and the March 2010 contract at 4.48, up 1¼. May soybean futures a penny and a half lower today, $9.94 the settlement price. July at $9.93.5, down 1¾, and the August 9.71, 5¾ lower. September soybeans $9.37, down 9¼, and the November harvest month 11¼ cents the loss, down 11¼ at $9.12 for the November soybeans. May bean meal at $3.06.40, up 40. May bean oil $34.99, down 33. April live cattle futures 86.52.5, 47.5 higher. April feeders up 55 at 95.95, and April lean hogs today 59.72.5, 55 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil finished the day with the settlement price at $51.05 a barrel, down $1.46 on the afternoon. The June contract at $53.38, $1.30 lower. May ethanol $1.58.08, that's a penny lower on the afternoon. Natural gas at $3.73¼, 6¼ lower. May RBOB gasoline at $1.48¼. 1¼ lower. May heating oil down 2¼ at $1.42. And the May propane today at 65¼ cents, just about unchanged on the afternoon. Gold futures are $24.10 lower at $871.50 an ounce on the settlement price this afternoon. And the Dow is just about 88 points lower at this hour at 79.29. The U.S. dollar for the day at 84.74 is up 0.56. And the CRB index at 224.53. is down 4.4 on the afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region from our own Daniel Pounder. He says a freeze warning is in effect from 10 central tonight until 9 tomorrow morning for most of central and southern Indiana, as well as most of southern Illinois. Tonight, he says, it should be cloudy, breezy and cold, occasional snow flurries. Lows will range from 26 in the north to 31 in the south on this day in April. Tomorrow in northeastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few flurries. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, breezy and cold. Highs will range from 42 in the north to 50 in the south. Some unusually cold air will cause freezing temps throughout the Midwest and deep south both tonight and Tuesday night. The active weather pattern will remain in place through the next 1 to 2 weeks, says Mr. Pounder. Temperatures, though, are forecast to move above average once we get through this weekend, and that'll help out the drying rates across the Midwest in this month of April. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's not a Tuesday afternoon. It's a Monday afternoon, though I wish we were through the snow. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We are not, are we?
Not just yet, Todd.
Well, if it were Tuesday, we wouldn't be talking to you either. And I'd like to talk to you this afternoon to check up and where you think things are headed in this marketplace. It's begun to chop just a little bit here. What does that mean to you?
Consolidation. Feels like the market's probably just uncertain of some price direction here. There's several key things that the trade probably wants to get a little bit better handle on before deciding which way to go here from a longer-term perspective. Tackle both of them. One would be the USDA or the WASDE numbers here as we approach the end of the week on the supply-demand balance sheet on old crop. Then we'll see our first look at the new crop. Estimates is a benchmark to start from. I think the trade's sort of interested in seeing what that has to show. Then secondly is the weather. As we get into April here, guys are getting sort of anxious to get going and see this farming start to pick up some momentum, and that's just not happening in a good chunk of the growing region here in the U.S., this afternoon, 6 to 10 day and even 8 to 14 day continue to show above normal precip for what we call the key growing regions. So that's going to probably build momentum here as we go in to next week. So until we actually get a handle on the weather and see what the numbers are here at the end of the week, I imagine we'll see a choppy sideways to higher trend here as we go through the week, Todd.
USDA's export inspection report this morning was pretty impressive, with corn coming in at 42.3 million bushels. Corn, of course, ended the day a bit higher, but there was pressure coming from other places, especially the beans, where they finished down 11 cents in the November contract.
In the bean sector, continue to see the bull spread take hold here. Old beans down 1.5 to 2, the new beans down 11. Trade likes the bull spread here on ideas that bean demand still remains fairly decent. As you mentioned, their export shipments show we shipped out 16 million bushel. Expected to see these bean sales continue to keep chugging along here. Traditionally, they start to fall down to 4 to 5 million bushels a week. But with the uncertainty in the southern hemisphere from Argentina and a little wet weather in portions of Brazil, beans can relatively hold in there versus new crop. New crop fear is that bean acres are probably larger than what we saw on the report last week. And, of course, if the weather continues to stay wet, we'll definitely see an increase in the bean side. But corn-wise, like you mentioned, good shipments, even good sales. Sold another 116,000 tons of corn to unknown, split up between old crop and new crop. So corn sales are trying to hold in there. We're still below last year's pace, but we're still at a respectable level where demand is trying to capture some stocks here to ship out.
We talked about a consolidation level that you believe might be building. Is that for both the corn and the soybeans? Usually that is nice, a foundation for an up move as opposed to consolidation and then a down move.
Well, hopefully it'd be a consolidation and an up mode, but we like to talk positive this time of year. Seasonally, prices during this time window do see some up in here when there's weather concerns or some uncertainty, so this is a seasonal up. Hope we can cheer it on. But December corn futures particularly, we feel there's good support in this 430 to 425 level. We feel there's a shot at 450 here as we go through the week. November beans support this 9.890 area with ideas that we could try to push up on up to this 9.950 area. So sort of a consolidation type of trade, support on breaks, the idea we could try to grind a little higher here.
Are you a willing seller of corn, old crop that is, and at what levels?
As a producer, yes. This is the strength we've been waiting for. We've been sort of wanting some strength here to poke out the upper end of the range. As far as old crop corn goes, our target in the May futures is this 415 area. We'd be a seller there. And we have some orders above that in case it does go higher. But we feel here in the next 2 weeks, we need to get to where we want to be on spring sales. Otherwise, we might have to hold inventory clear in the summer and see what the summer weather brings if we don't get some sales off here in the next 2 weeks.
Are you going to protect that which you have not sold once we're ready to get into the field? Are you going to take some action to protect the downside on a potential late June, July, and August fall into the marketplace? Because it seems like there's an awful lot of corn yet in the bin to be moved.
Correct. Stocks report indicated a lot of on-farm storage. On this up move in here, we did see basis widen, indicating a pretty good chunk of producers moving cash grain. When we do pick upside targets, we also try to pick time targets to work with. For example, if we do not hit some upside targets here by middle of next week here, we will come in and recommend some heavy put protection to put a floor under us in case this thing sort of rolls over. We could come in here and see the economic picture turn sour. That's a risk. We could come in here and see the weather forecast turn favorable, which indicate the crop getting the ground and remove some of that uncertainty there. That would be a risk to the downside. So there's several things here that could turn the momentum back to the downside in a hurry. So definitely if we don't reach the upside targets, we got to have a time window to say, hey, we need some downside put protection. But we feel that you need to reward the market here on this rally. Basically, when you look at the price of corn that near 450, that's 40 cents better than what the insurance revenue produced there during the month of February. And these beans, especially up towards this 950, 940 area, that's anywhere from 60, 70 cents better than what the guarantee there is.
Are you doing anything with your livestock producers as far as locking in their feed needs?
We've been lightly buying hand and mouth, extended coverage here. We've not established any big hedge positions, per se, on the board or for options. We've been going hand to mouth in here. Probably in the livestock sector, we're trying to get in a position here where staying alive here for another 6 to 8 months, feeling that the big bull market in the whole commodity sector is going to be the meats as we go into 2010 on into 2011, Todd.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Please visit our website at willag.org if you get the opportunity. If you can't visit that website to hear rebroadcast of this program as MP3 files or a podcast, remember you can always hear the programs at 10:15 and 3:15 daily on our telephone line. You can dial in. It's free, except for the minutes you expend, of course, at 217-333-3434. We post the opening and closing mark reports, the numbers from them, and just a bit of the analysis at 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pledging that any energy measure the House passes this year will not overly burden utility ratepayers or businesses. Pelosi also says she will not push climate change legislation until Democrats reach a consensus on their approach, and that could take some time. Pelosi says she wants to be sure that whatever the House passes does not place the U.S. economy at a competitive disadvantage in the global economy. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar says the department plans to issue final rules governing the development of offshore renewable energy projects within the next couple of months. The publication of the regulation, which will establish a formal program to grant leases, easements, and right-of-way on the 1.7 billion acres of federally owned submerged lands that make up the Outer Continental Shelf, is expected to help clear the way for several pending offshore wind energy projects. Valero Energy Corporation says it will honor more than 80 corn contracts for a total of about 18.9 million bushels at former Verison plants. The company will need about 316 million bushels of corn to operate for 1 year all seven plants it purchased from Verison and another on a development site. It is not known how many more contracts hang in the balance. Russia is pledging that credit resources for agriculture in 2009 will be 866 billion rubles. That's about $31 billion, mostly in the form of loans with subsidized interest rates. In addition, the Ministry of Agriculture intends to buy up to 20 million metric tons for intervention stocks to support prices. Throughout Russian agriculture, commercial credit is almost non-existent because land titles are too uncertain to permit their use as collateral. USDA concludes that the sector faces continued reliance on federal credit for the foreseeable future. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, two programs that you can listen to on our website at willag.org. Anytime you'd like at the website, they're there as MP3 files, or you can have them downloaded directly to your computer as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. And while you're there, sign up for our absolutely free weekend newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page, willag.org. It should be one of the places you're visiting on the web. Now up next, you know, commodity analysts have had a tough time adapting to the number of acres USDA says will not be planted in the United States this season. I'll have more on the disappearance of those nearly 8 million farm acres. Commodity traders are incredulous as a group about USDA's prospective plantings report released last week. They simply cannot believe U.S. farmers will sow nearly 8 million fewer acres to crops this year than last, but that's what the numbers from the National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, show, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Well, it sure appears like it. You know, we kind of working the numbers since 2006, it looked like we had added about 9 million acres of cropland in those 2 years, 07 and 08. This report would suggest intentions are down 7.8 million acres from what was planted last year. So that puts us pretty close to where we started 3 years ago on acres. There are a few more acres of hay intended for harvest this year, but still throwing those acres in the mix, we're down 7.6 million from what was either planted or harvested in 2008.
Of course, Good hedges a bit because the USDA number is just an intentions figure. That number, he says, will change by the time farmers report actual planted acreage figures in June. The USDA's March 31 prospective plantings report was developed from a survey of some 86,000 farms across the nation. It was taken during the last few days of February and the first half of March. The principal crop acres in the U.S. changes more often than you might think. The highest recent figure was reported in 1999 when 329.3 million acres were planted to corn, soybeans, wheat, and other crops. And even that was off 700,000 acres from the previous year. 2 years later, farmers planted 324.6 million acres, or a drop of 4.7 million from 1999. And by 2006, that dropped another 9 million acres to the recent low of 315.6 million acres. The next 2 years saw increases of 4.7 and 4.4 million acres, respectively. And then the hammer dropped this year with a single-year decrease of 7.8 million acres. It is the magnitude of that change that traders find questionable. U of I's Darrell Good says the next few weeks in Chicago at the Board of Trade, where the price of corn and soybeans is set, will determine how right or wrong USDA's 317.1 million acre prospective plantings figure will be when the June acreage report is released.
Of course, an obvious question now is that these are intentions, and we do know that acreage by crop can vary substantially from intentions. The bigger question now, will total planted acres increase from what was intended? and that may hinge a lot on what happens to overall price levels over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
If traders believe more acres of corn and soybeans will be needed to meet world demand, then prices in Chicago will move higher. If not, well, then the loss of that 7.8 million acres of cropland could stand the test of time. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural cash grain markets. On the line with us from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Brian Stark. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace in Champaign County, please.
I would say that we were a little bit all across the board today. Outside markets showed quite a bit of influence early on, and that spilled through most of the day. Corn was able to rebound, had a nice inspection number, 42 million bushels on the week. It shows some increasing demand. That is good. I think supported the market just a little bit. Beans never really could get off the negative tone of the outside markets, with crude down a couple bucks in the stock market. Trading down 150 most of the day. I've seen now it's within double digits being down, so we're seeing a little bit of a rally there. But there's a spread trade going on in the beans the last couple of days, late last week, this week, of buying the nearby, selling the deferred and the new crop, and that continued today based on the close.
Which does that have more to do with, you think, the problems that are to have developed in South America?
I would say that, yes, as a big inclination. I think, obviously, the wet weather, even though we're early on in the month of April, leads people to believe that bean acres will grow over the course of time if that pattern continues. So there's a negativity in the new crop values, but the old is supported based on the Argentina crop being maybe a little bit smaller than people think, and the renewed demand. I read this morning that China bought 20 cargoes of beans last week, although most of those came from Brazil, some of them still destined from the United States. So old crop bean demand strong, nearby supplies could remain tight moving forward.
On the corn side of the ledger, what has the basis done in recent days?
I would say the basis right now has been a little weaker over the last few weeks. It's kind of stabilized now that we've run through a big push of farmers selling when May futures got back above $4 and farmers were able to clear $4 cash for some of their old crop. Now that that's kind of worked its course, the basis is kind of leveled out, probably making another charge here very shortly once the farmers do get in the field and the movement into the pipeline starts to slow down.
Anything else to add before I get your bids?
I would say that's just about it today, Todd.
Your bids are?
$3.99 cash corn. Fall corn is $4.02. Cash soybeans, $9.92. Fall beans, $8.67.
Thanks much.
Have a nice day, Todd.
You too. That's Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on a Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
It's National Caramel Popcorn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Massachusetts created the first inspector of milk position in the U.S. It was not long before a report showed that milk sold in Boston restaurants was often diluted with as much as 40% water, and chemicals were added to make the diluted milk appear white. The diluted milk sold for as much as 5 cents a glass when fair market value for good milk was 8 cents a quart. In 1930, Twinkies went on sale for the first time with a banana cream filling. But in World War II, there was a banana shortage, and vanilla cream became the standard filling. By the way, early Twinkies had to be eaten almost immediately. The eggs, milk, and butter gave the Twinkie a shelf life of just 2 days. In 1932, C. Glenn King at the University of Pittsburgh isolated vitamin C from lemon juice. In 1938, Roy J. Plunkett accidentally discovered Teflon. And in 1954, TV dinners were introduced to the public. C.A. Swanson and Sons introduced the first TV dinner, roast turkey with stuffing and gravy, sweet potatoes and peas. It sold for 98 cents and came in an aluminum tray ready to pop into the oven. Supposedly, executive director Gerald Thomas came up with the idea when the company had tons of leftover turkey from Thanksgiving. The idea for the aluminum trays came from the trays used for airline food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Along with us this afternoon from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago is Chesapeake Energy's Mark Russo. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, I'd love to blame you, but I know that on this day in April that it's not you that put snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it was there, wasn't it? And it's going to stay cold.
And it's going to stay that way much of this week. In fact, here in Chicago, we're seeing snow flurries out the window, actually some lake effect snow flurries and showers coming off the lake. So, and this is this unseasonably cold pattern that we've seen here over the past week is going to really hang around here, on, at least unfortunately for those that do not like cold weather, throughout much of this week. And as a result, you know, temperatures will be below normal. And along with that, we do see more precip systems on the way, not only for the Midwest, but also across the Plains region. So for this upcoming week, it's continued active, it's cool, and for those producers here interested in getting out early for some fieldwork prep and even some early planting here, you can pretty much at least forget about it this week.
Yeah, the bad news is that the rainfall is there. Sometimes that's good news, but the worst news is that it's cold and the rainfall that is there won't get dried up because drying rates will be really low.
Yeah, and the way that the pattern is here, at least to start off April, it's very similar to a year ago. And even for as we got in the late into April and on to May, you never fully broke that pattern last year. We're not saying that you're going to repeat that again this year, but certainly the first half of April is going to be very similar, and as a result, you're not going to get any kind of early field work and early planting accomplished across at least the southern portion of the Midwest this year.
To complicate matters, we had a late fall last year because of the late planting season, and there's a lot of nitrogen that didn't get put on the ground, and most farmers will want to make at least two passes, one to put nitrogen on and one to plant this year, and that nitrogen pass may either have to be later or it'll be pushed really close up to what the planting date is. So we'll have to follow that as it develops. What do you find around the rest of the globe that interests you at this time?
Well, at this time, we're monitoring world winter wheat conditions, which overall still are in pretty good shape across most areas. Down across South America, where we're harvesting summer crops, no sign of any problems here with the advancement of the harvest, neither Brazil or Argentina. And just one item to note, one thing we're beginning to pay more attention to is some of the lack of rain in portions of southern Brazil. Obviously, that had an impact on their summer crops, but now that's actually beginning to affect their winter corn crop, which is their double crop down there in portions of southern Brazil, and there's just no sign of any improvement in rainfall across that area.
Okay, thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
And that is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Each and every Monday afternoon, you have a good afternoon. Stay warm if you can. And I'll be back again tomorrow afternoon with another edition of the CMR.
The
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.